Hello and a warm welcome to Radio Prague. I'm David Vaughan. First the news. The Czech government is to ask Parliament to approve extending the mission of just under 100 Czech military police stationed in Iraq. They are due to return at the end of this month, but the government now recommends that they stay until the end of the year. They are based in southern Iraq, where they are helping to train Iraqi police. President Václav Klaus has said that he supports the extension, which will cost around 175 million crowns, or just over $7 million, from the Defence Ministry budget. The Czech government is to release another $500,000 in immediate aid for Southeast Asia, on top of the $650,000 already approved. It made the announcement at a United Nations donor conference in Geneva on Tuesday. Almost $9 million have also been earmarked for long-term reconstruction projects. Meanwhile, the Czech public has donated nearly $9.5 million towards relief in the devastated region. The number of Czechs still missing in Southeast Asia now stands at 11, with 7 of them believed to have died. Only one Czech casualty has been confirmed so far. Czechs are to be given new identification numbers to replace the currently used rodné číslo, or birth number. Under a new plan put forward by the Information Technology Ministry, the daily Hospodářské noviny reported on Wednesday. Unlike the birth number, the new ID, which will be introduced in around 10 years' time, will not reflect the bearer's age or gender. 4 years after the introduction of the institution of ombudsman in the Czech Republic, two-thirds of Czechs can say who the ombudsman is, while half the population trusts the institution, according to a poll by the CVVM agency just released. Otakar Motel, who has occupied the post since it was created, said he was pleased by the poll results. Milan Jurásek has been re-elected chairman of the Czech Olympic Committee, defeating athlete Jan Železný 58-33 in a vote on Tuesday evening. Mr. Jurásek said he was glad to have won a strong mandate after campaigning had been marked by recriminations on both sides. Czech football star Milan Baroš made a successful comeback from injury on Tuesday when he played a large part in Liverpool's winning goal against Watford in a cup competition. Baroš, who has been dogged by hamstring problems in recent months, came on as a second-half substitute. He says he hopes to start an important league game against Manchester United on Saturday. And finally, a glance at the weather. Temperatures are expected to fall somewhat over the next few days and should range between -2 and +2 degrees Celsius. Some sunny spells are expected, though there is also the chance of rain or snow in some parts of the country. I'm David Vaughan, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, and I'm Nikola Brabanek. In today's program, Czech charities raise record funds for the victims of the tsunami disaster, and Czech dairy producers are feeling the pinch of the EU market. And on Spotlight, sit back and relax while we take you on a tour of the Czech Republic's most popular spa town, Karlovy Vary. All that coming up, so please stay tuned. A unique pilot program launched by the Czech Donors Forum last year to collect charitable donations through mobile phone text messages proved invaluable in Czech efforts to aid victims of the devastating tsunami that struck Southeast Asia last month. Brian Kennedy has more.
The Czech humanitarian organization EDRA on Wednesday held a press conference to thank the general public for its generosity. Over 200 million crowns in private donations have been collected thus far, and to applaud the country's competing mobile phone operators for working together in the name of charity. EDRA, part of the Global Adventist Development and Relief Agency Network, works towards improving health and living conditions for disadvantaged people, both here in the Czech Republic and abroad. EDRA has focused its long-term activities abroad, mainly in the former Yugoslavia and in the poorer countries of Eastern Europe, mainly Moldova and Ukraine. But apart from running social and humanitarian programs, EDRA also provides and coordinates humanitarian aid to victims of man-made and natural disasters. So, in large part, thanks to donations made through SMSs, mobile phone text messages, Czech nonprofits like EDRA were able to respond to the Asian disaster with unprecedented speed. EDRA Executive Director Jan Barta.
We receive a lot of money from ordinary people, and we are so happy that just ordinary people support us, because we We are doing things just for ordinary people in these countries in Southeast Asia. First of all, we went to Thailand and we helped them immediately after this disaster with money, to sending money to buy equipment for hospital in Phuket. This is special hospital who offer help to 3,000 people who were hurt.
Adria will now focus its efforts on helping fisher folk replace lost boats and rebuild schools in devastated Thai coastal and island communities. In the coming days, it will send a boat full of supplies to the region, christened the DMS Asier, in honor of the mobile phone project known as the Donor Messages Service. Dozens of other Czech organizations opened accounts for the disaster, including Caritas Czech Republic, the Foundation People in Need, and the Czech Committee of UNICEF, all of which praised the speed, transparency, and ease of the Donor Message Service. Jan Barta again.
The most important is that we start with these things immediately after this news. It was just one day after we start to collect this money through the SMS. And I think this is what we were successful, because we were first, and it was in time when other people still think how to catch this money.
Executive Director of the Czech Donors Forum, Pavlina Kalosova, oversees the complex system of collecting donations via SMS. It's a joint project of the Czech Association of Cellular Network Operators.
The system is unique because it is not just ad hoc for one to two projects a year, but it is a standard transparent system for any NGO that wants to start collecting money over SMS in the Czech Republic.
And there was a pilot program already in place before the tsunami disaster.
Yeah, 2004 was a pilot year when we launched the projects on the 1st of April last year, and 35 NGOs were involved in the project when we already sort of tested how the system will work and how Czech public will react to that. The first successful collection was for the Tatra Mountains in Slovakia last autumn, and the most successful ever was the public collection for the Asia.
That was Pavlina Kalosova, Executive Director of the Czech Donors Forum, ending Brian's report. Now moving on, less than a year after the country's admission to the European Union, Czech dairy producers have started feeling the pinch of tough competition on the EU market. Not because of cheaper, heavily subsidized goods from EU member states, as was their main concern, but because Czech milk suppliers have started selling their milk to neighboring Germany at higher prices. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
In the last few months, farmers and dairy producers in the Czech Republic have been at loggerheads over the price of milk. Unhappy with what dairy producers were offering for milk per litre, farmers simply turned elsewhere and accepted a better price for milk processing companies in Bavaria. Since the beginning of this year, milk exports to Bavaria have trebled, and the country's main dairy producer, Madeta, has lost a third of its supplies, facing losses to the tune of 1 billion crowns. Milan Tepli is the company director.
The loss of milk supplies was quite substantial and has hit two of our companies, export-oriented companies, as it happens, rather hard. About 300 people will have to be laid off. We're in a ludicrous position. Czech milk is going to Germany, and we in turn are now having to buy German milk for our production.
Other Czech dairy producers are buying milk from Slovakia and Poland, but with Madeta located in the southwest of the country, the cost of transport would be too high. As a result, Madeta is furious with the milk exporters and says that they're damaging Czech interests by taking away jobs from local milk processors. Indirectly, it has called on the Agriculture Ministry for support. Milan Tepli again.
I expect the Czech government to act similarly as the German government would if farmers who were subsidized not just by EU funds, but also by national funds, took their produce with its tax revenue potential to another state.
Although the Czech Agriculture Ministry has rapped a few of the milk exporters over the knuckles, it is said that this was not a favour to Madeta, who Goroldan is the ministry's spokesman.
The Ministry of Agriculture has not the intention to put any barriers or to limit in any way the trade, the free trade between milk producers and the milk processors in this case. But however, it has recently appeared the suspicion that some milk producers are supplying milk to brokers instead to supply it to the processors themselves, which represents an infringement to the European Union trade rules, and this is why the State Agrarian Fund had to intervene. I would want to emphasize that this mission has nothing to do with the right of the farmers to sell their productions to whoever partner they want.
Madeta's director says the company will withstand the pressure, going to Germany for its milk supplies if need be. The question is, what will the additional cost of transport do to the price of dairy products, sold both on Czech and EU markets? Furthermore, Mr. Tepli points out that dairy farmers could pay dearly for their short-term profit, noting that many of them are signing five-year contracts with German milk processors with no guarantees as to price or the course of the crown against the euro in future years.
That was Daniela Lazarova. You're listening to Radio Prague, and now some news of a special program coming up on Radio Prague.
Chavalero, mother, let's get down. Gypsies are happy enough from now. Every nation to us say no. Nobody like us, so we gotta go. Chavalero, mother, let's get down. Gypsies are happy enough from now. Every nation to us say no. Nobody like us, so we gotta go. Chavalero, mother, listen to me now. If you listen, then you just...
It's the experience of the problem of my race. Because I'm gypsy. So I can say it is angry, and also it's funny. I want to provoke on both sides, not only white side. I want to provoke gypsies and everyone who's listening.
Nobody cares why you can die. Gypsies stealing, drug dealing, I'm living for grand.
I think it's time for the travellers to realise that they don't have to just be one thing. You know, just as long as you are what you are in your heart, it doesn't matter which language you're using or how it's coming out.
The Roma culture is dying, is true. But on the other side, I don't think all elements of Roma culture are dying.
Square pegs in round holes, yet ready for what life unfolds. We know what the future holds for the gypsies. It is the gift for precious few, but the gypsies know. Move on, that's what the gypsies will do.
Nobody like us, so we gotta go. C-N-I-P-S-M-Y. Why don't you try a gypsy pie?
For centuries, Romani culture has been based largely on oral communication. But today, more and more Roma across Europe are turning to writing. In We Still Breathe Their Air, a special documentary in cooperation with BBC Radio 3 and Open Productions, will be looking at Romani writers today in the Czech Republic and in the United Kingdom. They're from different ends of Europe, but what they have in common is a desire to see Romani culture recognised and respected. If you're in the United Kingdom, you can hear the programme at 10 p.m. on BBC Radio 3, this Sunday, the 16th of January. On Radio Prague, we'll be broadcasting our version in two parts the following weekend. That's the 22nd and the 23rd of January, instead of our usual weekend features. The programme will also be on our website, www.radio.cz, in both audio and a full text version. The programme is presented by Simon Evans and was made by Simon Evans and me, David Vaughan.
Love for Roma ain't easy. Free as a bird, but never busy. Love for Roma, Roma let pick up. Strange life, life of a tigre.
For more details, look at our website, www.radio.cz. It's time now for a fresh edition of Spotlight. Today, Dita Asieru shows you some of the noteworthy places in the spa town of Karlovy Vary, some 120 kilometers west of Prague.
Hello and thanks for joining me for another edition of Spotlight. And what you can hear in the background is the main thermal spring at the Czech Republic's biggest spa town, Karlovy Vary, shooting up some 10 meters high. But besides the town's spa tradition, which goes back some 600 years at least, Karlovy Vary can also boast a good mix of unique architecture, ranging from Baroque to Art Nouveau. It is also home to the famous maker of Bohemian glass, Moser, the delicious Carlsbad wafers, and of course the popular Becherovka liquor. The 54,000 residents certainly have much to be proud of. Before you take a closer look at the town, I suggest you visit one or all of the four lookout towers that surround Karlovy Vary in a semicircle, making it possible to view it from all sides. My favorite view is from the hill called Jelení Skok, which translates into Stag's Jump, and is apparently the place where Emperor Charles IV went hunting and discovered the curative mineral springs. Stanislav Borachovič is the deputy director of the Karlovy Vary Regional Museum.
The springs most probably began to be used for treatment after the town was founded in 1350. According to legend, Emperor Charles IV discovered the thermal springs by chance while he was deer hunting. They say his doctor suggested he try to heal a leg injury with baths in the thermal spring water. It was successful, and Charles IV, or Karel as he's called in Czech, ordered a town to be founded by the spring and gave it his name, Karlovy Vary.
Coming from Prague, the outskirts of the town have little appeal. In fact, Karlovy Vary looks like anything but a place for a relaxing stay. But as soon as you reach the city center, especially the colonnade, you won't want to go back. The narrow valley of the Tepla River is overlooked by thick green high hills. The colonnade and pedestrian zone are lined with breathtaking architecture from world-famous architects such as Kilian Ignaz Dientzenhofer, who built the Baroque Church of St. Mary Magdalene in the 1730s, or some 20 late 19th century Art Nouveau buildings by the architectural duo Fellner and Helmer. And the list goes on.
Zdejší architektura je skutečně skvostem, je takovou vzpomínkou na éru Rakousko-Uherska.
The architecture here is a true gem of the town and takes us back to the days of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. You find buildings in the Romantic style, ideal for dreamers and lovers of the old days. Today's Karlovy Vary is mainly in the 19th century historicist style, with a little Art Nouveau as well. Most of the town is only some 120 years old, because the first Gothic and Renaissance town burned down in 1604. Then there was another fire in 1759. The third building phase, which the famous poet Johann Wolfgang von Goethe fell in love with, was in the neoclassical style. These buildings were also gradually torn down in the late 19th century because the old houses were too small and failed to offer the comfortable living conditions that the spa guests demanded: electricity, hot water, flushing toilets, elevators. The town had to be modernized, leading to a boom in construction, eventually transforming the town into what we see today.
Karlovy Vary byly pozvolna proměněny na dnešní Karlovy Vary, postavené v duchu historismu a secese.
If spa town 10 years ago and visited again today, you might be taken aback by the strong presence of Russian. Signs, advertisements and other notices used to be predominantly in Czech and German. Today, they're mainly in Russian. While the Russian nobility has been visiting the spa town since the 18th century, it is only since 1995 that many, mainly business people, come to stay long term. Today, a majority of the town's spas are owned by Russian capital. Now, I don't know whether it's the unusual atmosphere given by the architecture, but whenever I visit Karlovy Vary, I feel I have to be on my best behavior. In the 18th and 19th centuries, the spa town was a popular place of stay for the nobility, as well as poets, writers, and musicians. Goethe sought the healing powers of the mineral springs 13 times in the years between 1785 and 1823. Russian Tsar Peter the Great visited the town twice, in 1711 and in 1712. Time must have stood still since then. Well-dressed spa guests take relaxing walks along the colonnade, sipping mineral water in their special cups, which they fill at one of the springs in the late Renaissance Mlinska Kolonada, or Mill Colonnade, a traditional symbol of Karlovy Vary, built between 1871 and 1881 and designed by the architect of Prague's National Theatre, Josef Zitek. I must confess, I've tasted the thermal spring water once and hope that I'll never have to do so again. Healthy or not, I much prefer to stop at one of the numerous classy cafes for some tea and cake than look after my health with salty warm water and strange-tasting minerals. It is unclear how many thermal springs can be found in Karlovy Vary. Some books write there are up to 150, while most expert literature says there are between 60 and 70, with their temperatures varying from 30 to 73 degrees Celsius. 12 of them are currently being used to cure disorders of the digestive system, metabolic disorders, and disorders of the locomotive organs. Today, Karlovy Vary attracts some 70,000 spa guests a year.
Takže se nacházíme v prostoru, který právě patřil k těm starým obecním lázním. Zde se nacházely akumulační nádrže, do kterých byla svedena právě vřídelní voda.
Radek Wolf is from the Information Center and gives visitors guided tours of the town's underground passages, which date all the way back to 1650. Although the trip is short, the passages are a mere 50 meters long, the tour is worth taking, as visitors are told all they ever wanted to know about the springs. And they can take home one of the town's three main souvenirs, the petrified rose.
Tady za námi se nachází pokomeňovací místnost, jak už jsem řekl, vznikají tady ty tradiční karlovarské
souvenir. The petrified rose comes to being when paper roses are showered by thermal water in a special underground chamber, where wastewater from the source of the thermal fountain is collected. The 73-degree aerated water releases calcium carbonate, and a thin layer of sinter, colored by the oxidized iron, settles on the objects. In the case of a rose, it takes about 6 days for the sedimentation effect to turn it into stone.
After a trip to the very hot and humid underground passages, a brief tour of the Becherovka Museum and a tasting of the famous Czech liquor is an ideal way to end your trip to the spa town. Terza Slavíková from the Becherovka Museum tells us how Becherovka, known as the 13th Spring, came to being.
In 1805, so 200 years ago, the Count Imperial with his personal doctor, Dr. Frobrich, came to Karlovy Vary for the treatment, and they were put up in a house which was in a possession of pharmacist Joseph Becher, and he had a very well equipped pharmacy here in Karlovy Vary. And Dr. Frobrich spent all of his free time there in Joseph Becher's pharmacy, where he carried out various experiments with herbs and spices, and there in this pharmacy he composed a secret formula for the production of stomach drops. And he gave this recipe to Mr. Joseph Becher as a gift. And Joseph Becher adjusted this recipe for 2 more years, and from 1807 he started to sell in his pharmacy this liquor as a medicine.
And as most of our trips and spotlights end with rounding off the day with a pint of some good Czech beer, I shall not break that tradition. I've been snacking away at the Karlovy Vary wafers, thin circular wafers filled with chocolate, vanilla or nuts, the third most popular souvenir, by the way, and I'm now in desperate need of some stomach drops. So this is where I say goodbye and hope you enjoyed this brief trip to Karlovy Vary with me, Dita Asiedu.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. If you'd like to send us your comments or questions, you can email us at english@radio.cz or send us a letter at our postal address, Radio Prague, Vinohradská, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. You can also look up the radio programs online at www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our stories in sound and text. From me, Nicola Brabinek, it's goodbye now, and thanks for listening.